Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today, Lord, and I just want to honor you and praise your holy name, Lord. I thank you for the blessings that you've given us, and so, Lord, I want you to continue to heal the ones who are sick. Lord, we want you to be with Stanley and Marilyn this morning and heal Marilyn, Lord, to help her to recover from this surgery. Lord, we ask you to be with Wren Ray today and bless her and heal her and continue to work in her, Lord, and be with Phil and give him strength to be able to take care of her. And so, Lord, many others that are on our list that need your touch, Lord. We pray for Marva Wall, Lord, and to touch her, Lord, and help her. So, Lord, so many, you know, that are on our hearts and our minds today. And so, Lord, as we come together today as your church, we come together to praise and worship you. Lord, I just pray these things. Let your Holy Spirit be in control today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jack and Nina. Amen. Well, again, it's good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in a warm place. Amen. And I know the warmth of the Holy Spirit, I pray, is with you today. And nothing can warm you like the Holy Spirit can warm your heart. And it melts the coldest, doesn't it? And I tell you, God has been so good. And But today is Valentine's Day, and when we think of Valentine's Day, we think about our relationships, and you know, I want to become a more loving person. That's my goal. I want to become a more loving person, and I hope that's your goal. And today, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, because part of the fruit of the Spirit is, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, is number one, is what it says in the Scripture. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So we see here that the fruits of the Spirit, the very first fruit that is mentioned here is love. And so it's part of what the Holy Spirit brings to to us when we're followers of Christ is these fruits. And in the first one here we find is love. And so, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we find, you know, some familiar words as well. They're similar to that. It says, and it's something I like to use in weddings. I've quoted this scripture many times in weddings, and just here recently, we had a wedding here at the church. We were supposed to have it Wednesday, and I don't know if most of you knew that Zach and Amanda that have been coming to our church, they wanted to get married, and so they come to me and ask me, and so we were supposed to do their wedding on Wednesday. Well, because of the weather coming in, we come to rehearsal on Tuesday, and they had made a decision to go ahead and do the wedding. So we kind of did not necessarily a shotgun wedding, but we kind of did a quick wedding Tuesday evening. You know, we come back at 5 and everybody was dressed up just like it would be. You know, we had the bridesmaid and the groomsmen and the flower girl and we had it all. You know, everybody was dressed up and Verna was here. And so we had this wedding, you know. And it's such a good moment, you know. And so, you know, usually weddings, you have weeks and weeks of preparation, and then in 9 minutes, it's over. And so it usually just doesn't last very long. But my point is the scripture I like to use in weddings is love is patient. It's here in 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4 through 8, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it's not provoked, it does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. And I love that because, you know, really, if we think about today being Valentine's Day, love needs to be number one. But this love, it should be patient, and it should be kind, and it should not be jealous, and it does not brag, or it is not arrogant, it does not act unbecomingly. This scripture really hits to the heart of a relationship. You know, love is probably the most misunderstood word in the world. You know, part of the problem is that, you know, we use the one word to describe many things. And we use it for everything. We say, I love my wife. I love America. I love the color we painted our house. I love my dog. I love ice cream. I love my new shoes. I mean, there's so many things. We use that word love in so many different ways that sometimes in our life it loses its meaning. It loses the literal meaning of what it is. You know, most people think love is a feeling. Love is not always a feeling. You know, it's not always an ocean of emotions. Sometimes when we're in a relationship, it's not always a quiver inside of us in our liver. I'm using rhymes here. It's true that It does precede feelings sometimes, but it's more than just an emotion. Love is more than just an emotion. You know, how often we let our feelings motivate us to do all kinds of things. A lot of times we'll do things that we shouldn't do, or we might not normally do, because of our emotions. It's almost like saying that when we're in love, everything is out of control. And that's true many times. You know, have you ever heard someone say, "I fell in love"? I know we've all probably used that word. I fell in love one time. You know, I'm still in love. I better say that. I better get it right, right? Today's Valentine's Day, right? Lee and I have been married for 30 years. We're working on 31. And, you know, it's just, it had to be in love because, you know, if you don't, then it's messed up all the time, isn't it? And there's always good days. There's always bad days. It's not always perfect. It's not always about feelings or emotions, is my point to that. You know, this "I fell in love," it makes it sound like if they had, you know, if people have, when I hear that, it makes you feel like you've tripped and you couldn't control the fall when you fell in love. You know, Hank Williams sang a song about love. And he says, "I can't help it if I'm still in love with you." You remember that song? "I can't help it if I'm still in love with you." You know, we talk as if love is uncontrollable, but, you know, the Bible says that love is controllable. And in fact, Jesus commands that we love others. You know, Jesus commands it. And this takes work. It really does. It takes work because we realize that there is some people that are really hard to love. They're really difficult to love. And he says in John 13, 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." You know, it would seem that love is a matter of choice. And in Colossians 3:14, it says, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Notice, if you notice the two words that were used is put on, because love is something we can choose to have. We have to choose it. If we were a feeling, if it was just a feeling, we could not command it. But we can command a choice, and love is a choice. We can choose to love or not. It is controllable, is what my point is to this. It is much more than just feelings. You know, there's days in our life and in our married life, and I'm not one to preach about perfect marriages, because I said, you know, if we were going to have a marriage seminar, I'd probably be the first one on the front row taking notes. Because, you know, even though I've been married 30 years, there's things that it's not about feelings and emotions. It's about choosing to love a person through the hard times and through the good times and through all the times. That's what it's about. You know, those two little words, put on, like I said, love is something we can choose. We can choose. And in fact, you know, we know that it is possible to love someone you do not even like. And Jesus said it in this way in Matthew 5, 44 and 46. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes the sun to rise in the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, What reward do you have? Do you not even the tax collectors do the same? You know, it's easy to love people who are kind and lovingly to you. It is much more difficult to love those who are not kind to you. But the fact is, our lives are full of people that we don't like. We do not like the way some people talk. We don't like the way some people act. We don't like the way some people dress. We don't like the way some people vote, even. But most of all, we tend not to like people who do not like us. You know, there was a story that I read one time by a lady by the name of Lady Astor. And this first female member of British House of Commons didn't like Winston Churchill. And seems that he did not care for her much either, as the story goes. One time she told him, "Winston, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea." And Winston Churchill replied to her, "Madam, if you were my wife, I'd let you and I'd drink it." Oh my, such a good story we find. You know, but if you were to think about it for just a moment, you know, just a few seconds, just a minute or two, you could probably come up with a list of people you don't like. And they would probably be people whom you have trouble getting along with. But the truth is that everyone is hard to love sometimes. We're all hard to love sometimes. We all do things. We all say things. Sometimes we offend people and we don't really mean to, but we do. But some people are hard to love anytime. But Jesus never demanded that we have, He never demanded that we had warm, fuzzy feelings for everyone. He didn't say that. But He did tell us that we are to love people. We don't have to like everyone, but we do have to love them. So how do we do that? That's really the big question. How do we do that? You know, I think there's five steps. I'm going to go over five steps. You know, I think about Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, you know, they loved each other, I believe, in Christ. But yet they didn't get along very good because the Scripture talks about how they argued about things and actually went their own separate ways because they couldn't get along or couldn't agree. And so I believe that Paul and Barnabas loved each other because of Christ, but maybe really didn't like each other and didn't really want to be around each other because they had differences of opinion. You know, the first thing is the experience that we have. When we have an experience with God, then we experience God's love. And when we experience God's love, then we understand what love really is. God reveals that to us, His love for us. And first, before we can love others, we must understand how deeply God loves us. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 8 says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us." When we understand that God loved us while we were still sinners, while we weren't liked very well because we were not following His ways and His commands, I don't think Christ loved us very much, but yet He loved us enough to die for us. While we were still opposing Him, while we were still in our rebellious state, doing what we wanted to do, while we still had our back turned to Him, God loved us and gave His life for each and every one of us. In 1 John 4:19, we find that we now love God because God first loved us. We love because He first loved us. And we know and realize what a love it is. Man, we have a loving God. That's why John chapter 3, we read this in John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life." Why is it important to feel loved by God? Because unloved people often are unloving people. When I don't feel genuinely loved, I do not feel like giving love. You know, when we feel unhappy and depressed and like people don't care about us, then it's hard for us to care about other people. It's hard for us to express our love for others when we feel ourselves unloved. So first, we need to experience God's love working in us. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." John 15:12 says that. His love for us is the model by which we are to love. Got a little sparking going on here. I don't know what it is. So we need to experience God's love. Next, we need to forgive our enemies, which is hard to do. The second step, I think, in learning to love others is to forgive those who have hurt us. Colossians 3:12-13 says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." You know, the forgiveness that we are to show to others is the forgiveness that Christ showed us. Man. Most people, if not all, have been hurt one time or another by somebody. But you know, we got to let that stuff go. We got to let the past be the past and look at the future. Our future is not in the past. We got to look at the present and the future and the beginning and begin to love people today, and we must close the door on the past hurts. We got to get rid of the resentment. We got to get rid of all that stuff and leave it behind us. And we do that in forgiveness. And we do that because we love God, and God loves us. And we've had an experience with God, and He showed us what true love really is. And what's true love? It means forgiveness. Let go of all the past. He says He's forgiven us of our sins. He doesn't remember them anymore. He blotted them out. He washed the slate clean. He doesn't remember the sins. He forgave us of all that wrongdoing. He says, "Now go do the same. Go do the same." Forgive those who have hurt you for your sake. For your sake, not because they deserve it. Do it so your heart can be whole again. The people from your past cannot continue to hurt you today unless you allow them to hurt you by holding on to the resentment. Let go today. You know, anytime you resent someone, you give that person a piece of your heart. You give them a little bit of control over your life, a piece of your attention, a piece of your mind. And I don't think anyone wants that. You become a slave to that. So take back. And by taking back, you're taking it back by forgiving. So forgive those who hurt you. Some people live in a rehearsal. It's like Groundhog Day over and over again. Every day they rehearse over and over that hurt that happened. Next, we have to think loving thoughts. We got to learn to love others, to think loving thoughts about others, because sometimes when we see people, it brings back thoughts. God's Word reminds us of this. At Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others." Well, what does that mean to think loving thoughts? It means that we begin to focus on other people's needs and not ours. We begin to focus on their hurts and their problems and their desires and goals and not just our own. As an old saying goes, it's easy to understand someone else's problems as when you walk a mile in their shoes. Folks, the fact is here that hurt people hurt. And hurt people hurt other people because they hurt. If someone's hurting you, that person is doing it so because he or she is hurting inside. We need to look beyond people's faults and see their needs. And that's when we can learn to love. And I remember that song that I'm so familiar as a child, and I've heard it so many times. It says, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs." Such a beautiful song, but what he's saying is, he looked beyond my faults, and we need to look beyond other people's faults to see their needs. And their need is they need love. That love that we can give, but we can give what the Father gives. The Father gives us love. And we can share the gospel with somebody and plant that seed of have you discovered that the most obnoxious people and the least lovable people are those who need love the most? If you just look at what's going on in their life, you'll see that. The people we would rather ignore are the very ones who desperately need massive doses of love. And everyone needs love. If a person can't get love, they will strive to get attention. This is proven. You watch kids. You don't have to watch them very long. And you see this. People need a positive role models. They need positive attention. That's why it's so important for the church to be the church. It's so important for the church to be Jesus, because Jesus was a positive role model. And he left us here and he says, now go do what I do. Go do what I did. Love people. Love your neighbor as yourself. Forgive them. We need to attract positive attention and not negative attention. Most people want to be noticed, so they do whatever it takes to get noticed. The next thing is we have to behave in a loving way. I know that's hard for some of us to do, but we have to learn to do that. You know, if we look at all the words, it says, you know, we have to regard. We have to do. That's what the words, the scripture says, these action words. We have to regard. We have to do. We have to, you know, it's not about, you know, I say, you know, works without faith without works is dead. But doing brings faith. They work together. Sometimes it's hard to love people or to look at people and act lovingly towards someone that you don't like. Some people have a hard time doing that. But God says, Jesus says, love one another. The greatest command. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 29, it says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Man, it'd be tough to let go of your coat and shirt today, wouldn't it? It's cold outside. Sometimes I think that's where we're at. We're living in the cold because we're not allowing the warmth of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and we act like it's 10 below zero outside all the time and we can't give up anything because we love ourselves to be warm, but it's like we don't want to share that warmth with anybody else. So we have to behave in a loving way. And that scripture there is a command. He says, I'm telling you to do this. I'm not saying just do it if you like to, or whenever you want to. He's saying this is what you need to do. One of the first things he says here, Jesus in this scripture, he says, he commands us to love our enemies. There's four things, four parts in this little scripture here. We have to love our enemies. We have to love someone who is hurting us. We must overlook his faults and see his needs. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. I preached a message some time back about the one another's. I love that message. It always, I think about that also. There's a lot of scripture that talks about the one another's. We have to love one another because love covers a multitude of sins. The second part of that scripture in Luke 6 is Jesus commands, Caesar commands us to do good. He says, do good. How do we do good to people who we don't like? We look for ways to give to them. And what can we do to serve them, to meet their needs? We help them, to benefit them. Sometimes we have to go not just the extra mile, but sometimes the third and fourth mile. There's some people that's really difficult. We just have to sometimes offer practical help just by doing them favors, showing God's love, and just continuing to be. We can discover people's needs and continue to give. Third, here Jesus commands us to bless those who curse us. Man, I'll tell you what. That's a tough one, isn't it? What's he mean by that? He's referring to the way we talk about and talk to those who treat us badly. You know, a blessing is a positive word spoken to or about others. We don't put them down. We lift them up and we encourage them. That's what he means. Fourth part of that is Jesus commands us to pray for those who mistreat us. Pray every day for those. Praying for people will not only change them, but also change us. So how should we pray? We pray that God will bless people who are mistreating us because the goodness of God leads to repentance. We open the doors of heaven. You know, perhaps, maybe God will bless people so much that they will want to change. Amen. That's the whole goal. But even if they don't change, we have to have that. If they don't change right away, we got to continue to pray for them. We got to continue to do good and pray for their attitude towards, our attitude towards them will change. See, it starts with us, always. What all this means is that love is an action, is what I was saying. It's an action. It's not something, it's something we have to do. It's not just a feeling. When we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 earlier about that, it's the passage that says love is patient. Man, it's hard to be patient with some people. Leanne will tell you it's hard to be patient with me at times. And it's been that way at times. Nobody that's been married a long time will tell you that patience hasn't been a part of their marriage. Love is kind. And much more. You know, there's 15 action words listed in that one verse there alone. When we act lovingly, when we are patient and gentle and kind, and when we are displaying the fruits of the Spirit mentioned, it is actually the fruit. And all the other fruits are simply expressions of love. Love is patient, love is kind, love is joyful, love is the basis of all positive action. That's why Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love is most important. Last thing I want to talk about is we have to expect the best out of people. Learning to love others may in some ways be the most difficult thing that we've ever done, and that's true. But we always have to expect the best. 1 Corinthians, again, 13:8 says, love never fails. Love has a power that we cannot even imagine, and it never, ever fails. And we should expect the best. Why? Because God is love. Right? Amen? And when God is working in us and working in others, when we expect the best, we get the best. As Christians, we have to always have hope. Because why? Because we're a people of faith. And we have hope. And we should expect the best. Why? Because we have faith and we have hope in a God who is the best. We serve a God who's always faithful. The Bible says in Romans 8:38, for I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Such a powerful statement made. If God's love is that powerful, if it is that consistent in our lives, should we not display His love to others around us? I think that's what He expects from us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Woo! Against such things there is no law. So as I stated when I started, I want to become a more loving person. And how do I do that? By looking at the Scripture and saying, well, He says right here, I need the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I need to display that in my life. I need to make that a part of my life. Because when I make that a part of my life, then I can actually show what true love really is. And it's not just a feeling. So I say today to you as I close, let us be more loving. Let us be more loving to our husbands and our wives and our kids and our family and our members of the church. Let us be more loving to the community, the people around us, maybe the people we work for that we don't get along with, or the people we work with. Let us show God's love to a world who really needs to see God's love. And the only way they're going to see it is to see it displayed in us. As Jesus displayed His love upon the cross, let us display His love working through us by the things that we do in love. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I come to You again, Lord, and I just pray that Your love just overwhelms us today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit just cleanse us of every, remove anything that may hinder us from loving one another. Lord, let us be patient and kind and gentle and long-suffering. But most of all, let your love show through us. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us as you have. Lord, I pray if anyone listening today, his heart is cold, let your Holy Spirit melt that cold heart. Let us be warmed by your Holy Spirit. I praise you, I thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for listening in this morning on such a cold day. I hope your houses are warm. And I will say that it doesn't look good for our Wednesday night service to be here at the church. We'll probably be all remote or all Zoom again for Wednesday night. And looking like we're going to get some pretty good snow. So be careful and be safe. If anybody ever needs anything, don't ever hesitate to call. Most of you have my number. If you don't have my number, you can always get it from the church, from Verna or somebody. All you have to do or call or ask me, I'll tell you. Anyway, have a great week, and I'll see you soon. Amen. God bless you all.